Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Virgin Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Excellent, excellent. Nothing heard. Alrighty, so this net meets weekly on the Chestnut Ridge 2-meter repeater, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater in Alpine, New Jersey. The repeater uses a PL of 141.3. It also can be accessed via K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L, that's Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L, which is our remote base for Echolink. This net is a conversation. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, things in our society that use these things. Any aspect of amateur radio or technology that intrigues you is fair game for the conversation. In order to have a conversation, we actually need to have participants. So, we encourage you to check in whether or not you have a question or a comment. Obviously, we'd love you to have questions and comments, and that would be just great to have you come in. But even if you don't, we need you to check in, because we might ask you a question about a topic that we're discussing and to get your perspective, which you might otherwise not think is valuable, but we know better, or we hope to know better anyway. So with that in mind, let us begin the game. Stations whose call sign begins with the letter alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. W2TTT, over.
K2BAR, AA2NI, Nico, question.
Good evening, Nico. That's great. Excellent. Any other alpha stations? Okie dokie. Any whiskey stations? Please call K2BAR. W1AU, Bill. None of the above. Evening, William. Very good. Have that noted. Any other whiskey stations?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Okay, Don with a comment. We're good with that. Gotcha. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, no questions, no comments.
Okay, W2LCN, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other W's?
W2CH Ray, none of the above.
Good evening, Ray. Any other whiskeys? Okay. Let's go to the Kilo 2s.
AMI. No questions, no comments.
And hi, Tony. I'm glad you checked in, because I ran out of day this morning. But I can come by mid-morning tomorrow, if that's good. Let me know at the appropriate time. Pretty good. Any other Kilo 2s?
Hey, ID, I guess I'm checking it the wrong time. I don't know. Anyway, no questions or comments at this point.
We still love you, Ben. It's all right. Any other kilos? All righty. November stations.
This is N2OEL. With 5 answers to questions you never knew you had.
Doesn't that sound fun? Something provocative. Okay. Very good, Noel. Any other Novembers?
NS2K, no questions done. No questions at this point.
Okay. Very good. Welcome, Jim. Any other members? Okay. Any station, any call sign. Okay, and last but not least, EchoLink. Anybody on EchoLink? Of the day, since we've been busy occupying things and unfortunately being disruptive to others, I would like to suggest that this exercise, this net, is a better answer. It's an occupy your mind with good thoughts, constructive thoughts, collaborative thoughts, i.e. a discussion about good things and how we can use amateur radio more effectively, how we can use all our other technology toys more effectively, and maybe even do some good, and take our minds off the politics of the day. So, occupy your mind instead of Wall Street. That's my message for tonight. Having gotten through that little moment, Don, W2JDK, you had an announcement.
Yeah, K2BAR and the net W2JEK. Just reminding everybody that tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School, we will be having our test session. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Classroom number 123, which is the classroom that's the first one in there from the door that faces the street from the back left side of the building there. Hoping to see some people there. Hoping to have enough EEs. And we'll see what goes on with that. And back to net, W2JK.
Outstanding. Any questions for Don? I have a question for Don. Don, not that I can do it, but do you need more VEs for your test session?
I have three. I have three counting myself, and possibly a fourth one. But so far, so good. I mean, some of the fellows that usually are there are not available, but I think I'll be all right so far.
I had heard that. That's why I was asking. Okay. So, if you can help, you're an ADL or LBE, have your credentials. Let Don know of your availability. Lend a hand. If nothing else, it's great when you have some fresh eyes checking tests. It makes things a lot easier. Alrighty. Anything more on this topic? Okay, thank you, Don. We will move to Nico, AA2NI, with his question. Good evening, Nico. K2BAR, W2TTT.
To VAR in the group, AA2NI. First, to answer Don, I will not be able to make it tomorrow to the VE session. I have something I have to do first, and then I'd like to go to the NJDX Association meeting. And then I had a question. Actually, Jim NS2K brought a question to mind. If you don't have a question now, do you reserve the right to question the witnesses later? But the question I do have is, I lost my dipole antennas. I had three of them. One of them was an off-center fed wind dome, about 135 feet all the way down to 80 meters. And the problem with my yard is that the last 30 feet or so were buried inside the trees. In looking at a full-size G5 RV for 80 meters, it's only 102 feet. Which I may be able to position in the yard between the trees without having the radiating elements buried in the leaves. and wanted to know if anyone has any pros, cons, or comparisons that will shed some light on to what do we lose by having a shorter G5RV at 102 feet versus the 132, 135 feet off center fed window. K2BAR, back to you, AA29.
Okay, well, we're talking about G5RVs. We are talking about religion. However, yes, you can make it resonate pretty much wherever you need, but it is a bit of a cloud warmer. I had a similar challenge here, and my solution was a trap dipole for 80 and 40, and then wherever I wanted for the other bands. I used about 15 and 10 as well. Seems to be okay. One of my tasks for the next time I can get some time, which hopefully will be Sunday, is to run up on the roof and add a 10-meter dipole to the 80-40 trap dipole, then build a fan dipole that's perpendicular to it that's 10 and 20 meters. So that's what I'm doing, just to get some directivity, because I don't have really the room for a beam. I'm sure there are people with opinions about G5RVs, so why don't we let it fly with that? Yeah, or anything else that's related to Nico's comment.
Check in.
Check in, go.
Yeah, sorry for being late. I was on the phone. This is K2ZO, and I do have some comments, okay?
Of your own, or you want to comment on Nico's, or what?
Yeah, both.
Okay, well, we'll get to you in a second. First of all, anybody else have any comments on Nico's challenge? Okay. Mr. Jim, K2ZO, why don't you address the Nico questions?
Okay. Well, first of all, the G5RV, being 102 foot long, has a matching section of like 34 feet or so. It actually will work quite well on 80 meters. It'll have a slightly different pattern than an 80-meter dipole will fed in the center. You probably will not see any real differences, although you probably would see maybe in some particular area where you had a different lobe, you actually might see the G5RV be better than the dipole. If you don't have enough room for an 80-meter dipole, put up a G5RV. It works quite well. If you have room for an 80-meter dipole, put up a full 80-meter dipole. But in the trees, maybe it might not be as good. That's my comment on that. I've done both. I've used both, and I see, if anything, very little difference between the two.
So let me ask you a question, Jim. Trap dipole for 80 versus G5RV on 80.
Well, the big problem in using a trap dipole is that it becomes very narrow in terms of bandwidth. That's the big thing. The trap dipole you're talking about is something that's actually linearly loaded so that it's no longer a full-length dipole, right? It's shorter. What length is it?
102 feet.
Well, that'll probably have about the same performance as a G5RV. A trap dipole, when it's set up right, you can actually operate it without an antenna tuner over a narrow band. The G5RV, I would say that you would probably need to use the antenna tuner to really make it work, especially on things like 10 and 15.
Right, and around 3850, my trap dipole is wonderful, as you say, without a tuner. The reason why I chose the trap dipole rather than G5RV is that the whole ladder line thing is, it has its own nuisance factors that were a challenge in my world, and in point of fact, I could the center point of my dipole is on my roof, so there was no place to go down with the ladder line. I could go across, but perpendicular to the wire, but not down. So I chose the dipole configuration instead. So I have one leg that goes flat to the west and another leg that goes sloping down to the east. It's actually, this one's commercially made, which I'm embarrassed to say. It's a Alpha Delta DXDD, Delta X-ray Delta Delta. And I bought it because I had forgotten my antenna tuner and needed to have a suitable way to have an antenna down in Annapolis. And so the solution was go buy another tuner. And I said, well, it's $200 for that or $100 for a pre-made dipole. I said, well, I can probably use it on my lot at home when I get back, which I did. And so I just held my nose and paid the money, you know, at HRO in Delaware and moved on. And it did what it needed to do that weekend and subsequently was deployed here at my humble home, and it all works well. Anybody else with comments?
S2OVO.
Go ahead, Noel.
Okay, I had a G5RV. The 66-foot one, I believe. Yeah. And I can put it up 40, 20. Forget about 10. Finally borrowed Tony's analyzer, and it said that the SWR was greater than 25. Say you put, I think I had maybe 67 feet of RG8X. What's the losses on 10 meters if you have an SWR of greater than 25 to 1 and 67 feet of coax?
Virtually everything.
I could never make the 10-meter net with that antenna.
Dummy loads would be better. Anybody else have a comment about this?
If you look in the ARRL, has K2ZO, if you look in the ARRL handbook or the antenna book, there's a chart in there that shows the additional loss due to SWR. In other words, if your antenna is one-to-one at a particular frequency, like 10 meters or so, and then your SWR goes to 21 or 10-to-1, I think it goes up to, it shows you the additional loss in dB. At 25 to 1, yeah, you'd probably be losing 75% of what you were putting into it.
Yeah, easily. I don't have a chart in front of me, but yeah, easily. All right. Anything more on this topic before we hand it back to Nico?
Yes, that'd be 2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
With the phase up, you wanted to keep it out in the clear. At one point, I remember one of the writings that G5RV had. He said, if possible, you rather than do the matching section thing, you run open wire all the way into the tournament shack. And that's another possibility. I don't know if that's makes it work any better or not, but I saw the what might be lost with the coax.
Then it's no longer a G5RV.
Well, it is if he says it is. But then again, I think the man's deceased at this point, so you can't ask him. Anyway, good point. So I guess our next do we want to go to another topic, or Actually, no, not yet. Nico, we gave you some good ideas. the whole point is that, you know, I think you might be better off with dipoles that are on the bands that you like. And, you know, if you need a dipole for a band that where the one dipole doesn't work, put up another one or add another feed element. It'll kind of detune the first element, but it'll still be very effective if you don't want to put up another coax.
Okay, to be in the group A829. Let me see if I have it. Yeah, it kind of reinforced what I thought, that a clear antenna is better than a good antenna buried in the trees. I pretty much know the performance of the Windom, so, and unfortunately a third of it is still lost in the trees. I couldn't release the one end. Most likely the insulator got stuck. I can't pull it to get it released, but I can measure it and add the piece that's missing. So eventually I'll resurrect that, but I'm going to try an AP 102 feet full-size G5RV. When I say full-size, I mean to 80 meters. I don't think you'll go to 160. But that's to replace the Windom that I lost. And I know I can fit 102 feet between the two trees, and it'll be about 60 feet above ground, which will allow for the vertical drop of the ladder line. With that, I'll turn it back to Net Control. Thank you for the comments and help. K2BAR, this is AA29.
Okay, very good. Very good. So I'm going to pose a question, then we're going to take Jim's, and then we'll go to Noel's. Unless we have more check-ins, in which case we'll have them to the end. I've been collecting circuit boards that have power supply segments on them. And, in fact, someone sent me a 10 or 12 little circuit boards that have 1.5 inch cores on them. And they're being used for transformers, and with enameled wire wrapped around them, so they're toroidal. I'm not sure of the material, although there is a label on it, but it's a label, not a printing. Yeah, it doesn't really tell me much. So anyway, these are off of some sort of power supply module, plug-in card. And what I'm wondering is, can I salvage these cores? There's some smaller cores, too, here. Some really tiny ones that would be good for the Teflon coax that Jim, you always like to bring. And there's other ones that are probably good for RG8X or RG58. You know, they're very, very nice. So I want to put these to work, especially since I have a dozen times these cards, you know, in the way of cores here. So wanted to know from you how I would go about ascertaining the utility of the material.
How big are the cores, Gordon?
Well, each board has one that's 1.5 inches, another one that's about, maybe 1/2 inch, or two others that are about 1/2 inch, maybe a little bit more. They'd be good for that UT-141 type stuff that you like to use. And then there's ones that are a little bit bigger with a slightly bigger core that might even accommodate a piece of RG8X, certainly if not RG8X, certainly RG58. And, you know, it's pretty clear to me, in one case, they're being used as a choke. They're running a single heavy conductor through two of those mid-sized cores, just off the board, up through the core, across, and then down through another core, back onto the board again. The other ones are being used, the big one's being used as a transformer. It's got two windings on it. Or does it have two windings? Or is that just one? I'm sorry, I might be wrong here. Yeah, it might be, no, it's two. Pretty sure it's two. So it's a transformer of some sort. the little teeny weeny ones look like they have one winding on them. They're being used as some sort of, you know, frequency determining device or that, or as a way to choke off RF. I'm not sure which.
Well, I've used those coarse for filters to you know, for RFI, just you know, in series on wire. However, I would not use them as transformers. Those things are designed for much lower frequencies. If all you're going to do is use them as suppressors of you know, RF online and stuff like that, they'll work fine. That's what I found. But you know, they're very high permeability, and the very, very high permeability stuff doesn't seem to work that well at HF. It just is very, very lossy. You don't want to make transformers out of it. You want more the powdered iron stuff.
Okay. So these things are best off to use as chokes, RF chokes, like the kind you, like the normal current choke that you build, typically by putting a bunch of these things on a piece of coax, then jacketing it up with some heat shrink, and away you go.
I have a design that I just did for something I'm doing, in which I used a powdered iron, a toroid, with a bifilar winding on it, as a one-to-one transformer, a current choke, and then feeding that is a piece of coax, the RG-141, with a whole bunch of beads on it as a RF choke to close off, you know, any RF coming off of it. Very, very effective. I've just put it on a new antenna of mine, and it works well.
But it was powdered iron based. And that's the key. These other things have, you know, characteristics that are better as chokes. Yeah, these things are clearly for very low frequencies. So what I'm thinking is that they'd be absolutely lovely to use on larger coax. I mean, these big ones, I only have a dozen of them. They're only about, say, about a half inch wide a piece. But if I get 6 inches of, or even 5 inches of this big stuff sitting on a piece hunk, a big honking piece of RG-214 or something, or an LMR-400 that I'm using to feed a dipole, I'll be in fat city, especially at frequencies like 80 meters, maybe even 160 if I have, you know, RF issues. Alrighty. That was my question. Mr. Jim, your question.
KD2AKP disconnected. KD2AKP disconnected. Connected. KB2SIZ.
Okie dokie. KB2SIZ, did you want to join us and make a comment? Okay, K2ZO, your comments, sir. K2BAR, W2TTT.
Okay, this is K2BAR. I just recently lost my 40-meter dipole, and what I did was I took the antenna that we had used on portable day, which was a 300-ohm kilowatt twin lead from the wireman, and 67.5 feet feed line to an off-center fed 40-meter antenna. And the thing just fit where I wanted the feed line to come down. That's why I used it, over to the tower on one side and over to a pole on the other side. So it was kind of tilting. And I put a 4-to-1 ballon at the bottom of it, and just with a little bit of pruning on this antenna, it is absolutely flat. across the whole 40-meter band. Now, I did have to ground the shield as it came in the window. I had to ground it to the cold water pipe because I had a little bit of RF, but I got rid of that. This antenna is completely flat across the whole band. From the CW portion of the band right up to the top of the phone band, it is absolutely flat. It hardly even, at the band edges, it moves up to about 1.1 to 1. I'm just absolutely amazed at it. Very lightweight, but the ballon is down on the ground. It's right by the window. And the feed line, of course, is very light, 300 ohm. Great antenna. It worked great. Just worked Europe with it, and slightly tilted towards Europe. And they're getting great reports from Florida and up in Maine and everything else. Works very well.
Boy, isn't that outstanding. So, off-center fed. So you've got, what, 25 feet on one side and 41 on the other. Heavy-duty, twin lead coming down. I'm kind of curious what length that is. And then a 4-to-1 ballon to coax feed. You, as you said, you grounded the coax as it came in, so that you don't get RF in the shack. Could you have suppressed that RF if you had put some cores on the coax?
Probably could have. It was the next thing I was going to do. I have a little bit of a piece of coax with a bunch of ferrite beads on it. Unfortunately, I can't put my hand on it right now. I put it down somewhere. We had it at our day at the park, and I would have put that on there. But I don't know where I put it. So what I did is I just took a piece of braid and put it to the PL-259 that's on the bottom of the 4-to-1 ballon and ran that over through the window with the coax. It's a plexiglass pane in the window with holes drilled in it so I can get in and out. And ran that over to the cold water pipe, and that stopped the problem. I was getting RF in the audio. Not much, but just enough. And fixed that, and only with the amplifier on. So that fixed that. But this combo, remember now, the antenna had, with the lengths we had as an off-center is about 200 or 300 ohm, close to that. And with the 300 ohm feed line, with a half wavelength on 40 meters times the velocity factor, 0.91 times 6.7, it comes out to be about 60 feet or so. And it worked fine.
Okay, so the wire element was about 60 feet?
The feed line.
Ah, okay, the lateral line feed line. So you're using a quarter wave, half wave, coming from the feed point down to the ballon. Now then, what was the distance of the coax or the braid from the ballon to your cold water pipe?
About 3 feet.
Oh, so the ballon. All right. So going from the ballon to the cold water pipe was no big deal. Have you considered that if you had didn't put it to a cold water pipe, but either stuck it with ferrite or banged a ground rod outside before it came in, whether or not the antenna would be as flat?
I did not see any difference at all in the SWR when I grounded the feed line. That was one of the things I noticed. I did not see any difference at all. But what I did notice is that there was some RF getting into the audio of the preamplifier that I used for the microphone. So that's why I did that. But it worked fine. And what I like about it is that it's so flat. I mean, it's great. It's nice to have an antenna that, you know, goes from CW to phone. And no jump at SWR. Great. And it works.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. not only works, but also works at high power, so you could, you know, jam a kilowatt signal into it and not have to fret much as you cruise across the band. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, now to design one to work that does that on the 80 meters would be nice.
Well, you start with where you're going to put a vertical half wave on 80 meters, and all space for, you know, 50 feet by, let's say, 80 odd feet for the OCF section.
Well, getting the antenna up in the off-center FET is not too much of a problem, but the feed line, yes. However, there's a trick you can play if you want to use the feed line, as I did, to remember a half wavelength of feed line repeats the impedance up at the antenna. So it really doesn't matter what the feed line is in terms of impedance, because if you make it a half wavelength, again, calculating in the velocity factor, you'll repeat the impedance down at the bottom of the thing. And, of course, that's exactly what I did. And, of course, the fact that it's open wire line means it's low loss. But there is a trick, and one of the things that you can do, and I did that on another antenna I fooled around with, is take two pieces of coil stock with clip leads on them, and insert in each leg of the open wire line an inductor that will electrically do the same thing as lengthening the line. How about that?
That's a great idea. Absolutely wonderful idea. Anybody else have any comments or questions for Jim on this? All right, Jim. Any closing comments? This is exciting.
Oh, but it's a lot of fun to fool with antennas. I get a big kick out of it, and I'm just delighted with how well this thing works. It's great to just, you know, be able to flip over and off you go, you know, not sit there and have to tune something.
Yes. Feed point really 66 feet off the ground, or is it something more, or is it something less, and you're kind of just, you know, looping the lateral line toward the window?
Now, what I did is I zigged it back towards the tower, back over towards the chimney, and then back down the side of the house. And that's how I ate up to 66 feet. Now, the next thing to do, since the feed line is really close to the impedance that I'm matching, is try to shorten it up and see what that does. I hate to cut open wire line, because I know I'm going to cut too much. But anyway, that's the next experiment, to kind of shorten that. And one of the things that I'm sitting here calculating is the fact that it looks like if I go about 45 feet down, I still will have an impedance that's going to work. So we'll see.
Oh, that's excellent. That really is excellent. All righty. Anybody else?
That's two ID.
Go ahead, Ben.
If you're playing around with transmission lines and you want to know what's going to happen with impedance at one end and impedance at the other end, there's a very simple program, which I have. It's in the antenna handbook, which you put in the impedance to one end and the length of the line or what type of line. You find out what the impedance is at the other end, and you save yourself a lot of, experimental effort. KF2ID.
And have you experimented with this, Ben?
That works great. You know, I did a little work on it. It works great. You just put the I measured the impedance at the head and the antenna and had a length of line and figured out what it should be, and that's what it was.
You're splendid. Well, if you can remember what the name of the program is, that'd be helpful.
What was that last question? I'm sorry.
The name of the program?
That would be smart. Let's see. It's, let me get back to you. I have it on my computer. Just let me take a look. So that I can, it's on the disk and I can find it. KF2ID.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
Mr. Jim?
Yeah, I guess I fooled around a little bit with that program, but I haven't really done much with it, just, you know, using some of the other ARRL stuff. Most of what I've done has just been cut and try, and probably if I took more of a scientific, technical approach to it, I wouldn't be doing as much cutting and trying.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right, well, that's very good. So, as you heard, my vertical limitation at a feed point for a dipole is probably around 35 feet. So, and it's right over the center of my house, which is right on top of my shack. So it really does present a problem. Now, I could conceivably get 35 feet of vertical, but then I'd have to bury 60-odd feet of wire, open wire line, in the backyard vertically, and then deal with all that. My guess is that it's not effective, so I'm going to try the dipole method for now and extend things out a bit. While we're on the topic, real quick, has anyone tried to run a fan dipole of multiple elements to the same band as a way to ensure that there was somebody who had a, or somebody would have a decentness of UR across a given band? So you take a segment for, let's say, the CW, you cut a segment of the wire for the CW section, and you cut another one for the phone band on 40, let's say, or 75 and 80, things like that. Has anyone ever tried that?
Gordon, are you talking about like on an 80-meter antenna where you put an 80 and a 75 section up together?
Yes, sir.
Now, that'll work. What happens is if you plot it out, you'll get two dips in the curve. You'll get a dip down in the 80-meter CW section, and you'll get a dip up in the phone band. It does work.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be fine. All righty, very good. I know my first, well, it wasn't my first, but a dipole I built about 7 years ago, or just before, about a year before we did construction on the house, I put an Envis antenna up out of a 300-ohm twin lead, and the one element was 40 and the other one was 20, and all I had was like a half inch gap in the one side of the wire, and it was great. Yeah, it really, really was. My father-in-law just loved listening to 40 meters in the morning, all the banter of the conversation. My wife still talks about that. That Bob would sit there drinking his coffee and I'd start to get to work, because we were starting to take the house apart, so I didn't have my office. I was working in the dining room, and I'd be listening to 40 meters while working on my morning email, and listening to e-cars and other such fun things like that. But then I switched to 20 meters later in the day, and that got us intrigued too. Alrighty. I think we're done with this. Does anybody have any more? And then we'll go to Noel.
KF2, the name of the program is TLW, or Transmission Line Program from Windows, and it's in the list that comes with the ARRL handbook. Whether it's on a net or not, I'm not sure, but if anybody wants a copy of it, it's open software, there's no problem. So I think you can just copy it and give it to you. KF2ID.
That's great, Ben. Super. Thank you very much. So it's TLW. I did hear another signal coming with you. I think it might have been the Echo Link. Who is that?
K-D-2-F-I-Z. Timeout. Connected. K-D-2-A-K-P.
N2OEL, double give 2 TTTK2BAR.
Okay. I got a bunch of related answers, so I asked the questions first. All have to do with a GPS. Question, if you decide to add a road to your own personal GPS, can you do it? Question, if you decided to, for instance, look at all of the 194 New Jersey repeater locations and put it on your GPS in such a manner that you could instantly tell what the directions are and the distance to the nearest repeater with a couple presses of the buttons on the GPS. Could you put in all of the Vera radio amateurs into a GPS and watch them as you drive past their houses? Does it sound intriguing to anybody?
Well, let's see if I can remember all the questions. So, yeah, tracking all the Vera members would be very cool. We should either get on APRS or D-Star with a GPS-enabled transceiver and do that. And that way you can be on www.aprs.fi, which is very, very cool. That's the last question you asked. What were the other questions?
You don't understand. I'm saying with a plain old 5-year-old Garmin GPS, could you do this?
Yeah, you can track people with a 5-year-old Garmin GPS. You just need something to receive the NMEA or the, you know, the NEMA output from the GPS, and then put it somewhere useful where other processes can operate on it.
Get to what's called points of interest files, which your Garmin GPS comes located, for instance, restaurants or parks or government officials or offices like the post office, hospitals, police stations. You can add your own.
You can, in most cases. But I'm not so sure you can add the road. That was your first question. I'm not so sure you can add a road, but maybe you can.
The answer is yes. Now, there is a website called BOI Factory. The neatest thing on there that I found so far is New Jersey ham radio repeaters. 194 locations, mostly in New Jersey, but some may be Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, near a border. Load this into your CSV, comma, separated value file. So you can read it in English. You can manipulate it with a text editor. Load it into your GPS. And you can see the repeaters, how close you are to one. Hey, let's not try for the repeater that's 94 miles away. Let's try to one that's 12 miles away.
Or more accurately, send someone to the local hospital, or repeater, I should say, as needed, you know, depending on what frequency range they had capabilities for. That's excellent. That's absolutely excellent. Anybody have comments on Noel's questions?
Actually, I got the answers to the questions that I was feeding you.
All right, so go ahead.
Okay. The answer is yes, you can add a road. Takes a little doing. It's all detailed on POI-Factory. Or POI-Factory. Oh yeah, it's got a dash. POI-FACTORY.com. What started is there's a group of people that love to park at Walmart because it's free. They don't like paying for camping overnight. So, I've been following their group, and it turns out there are some dedicated volunteers that actually go, and they have two symbols, no overnight parking and OP permitted, I guess. And you can load it into your GPS, Garmin or TomTom, and take it with you. You want to find a stopping space for the night, you just load that POI file, accept it, bingo. It'll tell you the distance and direction of the nearest Walmart and the other Walmarts too, and whether they're not they allow overnight parking. Well, what happened is that eventually led to other discussions, and I found this website, and they have an amazing number of amateur radio related POI files. Alaska, most states, red light and speed cameras, all 3,832 that's in there at this moment.
Well, I think we need to validate these numbers with someone who actually knows, but it's certainly interesting. Very, very interesting. You know, especially if it's going to end up, you know, as part of the product release. Right now it's not, but maybe in the future it will be. So, anything else, Mr. Noel?
So, to go to POI Factory, and of course, my personal favorite, local beer brewers or distilleries. Back to net, this is Antonio.
Right, and if you put in some military reference, then it might figure out that that's what you need, and it comes up with that, but other times, it'll just come up with the normal map of the area that is relevant. And that could leave you a little bit twixt in between. But very good. This is wonderful.
HA4WD.
Rachel, good evening.
But I guess it's my turn. I have a TomTom, and one of the things I was able to download was a map for 2 meters, a map for 70 centimeters, and it covers the whole United States. So as I'm traveling about, I can bring that map up, and it'll show me the repeaters along the trail or along the road that I'm traveling on and give me a relative distance from where I am.
So that's kind of neat. So you can essentially establish a waypoint and know what your distance and your overall vector from that point. That's lovely. Sometimes it's quicker just to keep track of the compass and the time. You know how far you should be based on the time, if nothing else.
Well, I use it to do QSOs while I'm traveling and enjoy the company on the road.
Alrighty. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add to this? I think it's really important, that, and especially as we move on, that if you have the facility for accepting an uploaded map, just a revised map from what was originally embedded in the device, please to do so. That is key. Really is key. Alrighty. Anybody else? Well, Noel and Rachel, thank you for bringing up the topic. Very good. Noel, back to you.
I'm still not sure. Talking about receiver, this is a little, basically a text file that you load into your GPS, and I'd like to know where Rachel got hers, because I haven't seen the whole country. I've seen it by states and so forth, but it's really intriguing, and these Walmart nuts, there's also Costco nuts. I just found 532 Costco stores. If you felt the need to go around the country looking for a Costco store. I mean, I just can't believe this website, the stuff they have. Rachel, when you get a chance, would you please email me the source for that so I can go there and get it at my call at the league. Back to net. This is Ventulio.
Well, that doesn't help very much at all, does it? Oh, well. Look forward to their after action report when they get it done. All right, anybody else?
My radio break, or did Gordon disappear?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was just distracted by a call for a second. Sorry about that. Thank you, Noel. All righty. So where are we? I'm sorry. Got distracted here by a family matter, which is taken care of. Well, I guess there's no more follow-on, Mr. Noel.
Take my advice, go to POI-factory and just browse through. You would not believe what these people have done. And to OEM.
POI-factory? Very good, we will do that. We'll absolutely do that this evening. Very good. Alrighty, and we have, a transmission line for Windows, TLW. So, all sorts of good things tonight. Very good. Any more? Anybody have any additional topics they'd like to bring up?
82AMI, when you're finished, Gordon, I'd like to speak to you.
That'll be no problem. All right, so here's one thing I'm thinking about. I hear these guys from Europe with their various concocted, either mostly steerable 40-meter Yagis. A lot of them are just two-element Yagis. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we could make a wire beam on 40 with not a whole lot of difficulty. And I'm just trying to figure between a reflector and a driven element, what would be the minimum effective spacing that I could use that would be useful for punching a signal into Europe? And I'm thinking about, well, a fifth of a wavelength, even maybe a quarter wavelength behind. That's 30 feet. That's a big distance. So I was trying to figure out how I might weasel that around, and I'm thinking that V-shaped elements, one toward the front of my house and one of them in the backyard somewhere or off the back tower, and you know, the reflector I could put off the back tower, the driven element I could put on the house, and there we go, there we are. So that's what I'm thinking. Two-element Yagi fixed toward Europe. And let you break pileups a little more easily with a measly 100 watts. Might be a good idea. My friend Steve, KC2BBU, who occasionally checks in here, he has a inverted V on 40. And I've been telling him, oh, man, you've got to put a wire quarter wave behind it. And he's got all kinds of trees to do that in a very empty backyard, you know, other than the trees and a little garden area. But he's got plenty of room to do that, so I'm thinking he should do that, in his case, probably to the south because his antenna's east-west in the way the wire runs. So if he stuck one to the north of that, about a quarter wave behind, he'd be working South Americans and the southern part of the United States just fine, and you know, get where the getting's a little rough, a little bit better than the average person. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
A2ZO.
Mr. Jim.
Gordon, I just website with some information on some Moxon antennas. And if you click on there, when you see it, you'll see the space to click on. It'll bring up the calculator that you can calculate them. And a Moxon antenna on 40 could easily be put into your yard there. And it's not the spacing is not that great. Take a look at what I just sent you, and I think you'll be able to easily put up a Moxon. They work good.
Okay, so and the Marsan's put in the horizontal axis, right? So basically it's two U-shaped elements kind of facing back into each other, right?
That's it, and they work well.
Okay. Well, for 4D, I could probably do that, and I could probably even do it on a spreader. Make a spider spreader, as it were, and let her rip. I could even make that possibly even rotatable. That would be a kick and a half. Well, we'll see. Thank you, Jim. I hadn't thought about the Marxon in a long time, and that's a really good suggestion. In fact, I might even want to try with that one with 20 meters first, just to work with something that's, you know, from a physical level, a little more, you know, manageable. You know, work out all the basic design kinks of how to make it work, and then just make the 40 meter one, and away we go. That's a great idea. By the way, if anyone needs resources from tonight's net, just email me at w2ttt@arrl.net or att.net, and be happy to provide that. Let's see, what else? Anybody else have anything they want to add to this? Alrighty. By the way, Tony, I could come out now if you want. If it's not raining, I could... After the net, I could jump in the car and make your aluminum problem go away. I wanted to ask a question for Tony, though. Tony, when is the next show and tell night at Barra?
I have a scheduled show and tell night, to my knowledge. The program director right now is Phil Bruce. Next year, I don't know if it'll probably be Bruce again, because Steve is... continuous or present. Question directed at him would be good. I can't answer that definite question, but if it's up to you to just make a quick flyby, that would work. But bring the big blue of a bus with you.
Yeah, I could do that. Sure. After we secure that. The reason why I'm mentioning it is because I had bought a Hardig case, an IM-2400, which is a very big briefcase kind of case, and it's one of those cases that stays dry, and this one came with some foam, but the top foam was like the anechoic kind of, you know, waffly stuff in the lid, and the bottom foam was a tougher foam that had been carved out for something that was obviously not included. So what I did was I said, well, I've been staring at this thing and staring at this thing and staring at this thing. What am I going to use this thing for? And it was a brand new case in the box, except that the foam had been tailored for something that wasn't included. And what am I going to do with this thing? It had the original shipping and label stuff, so this was just somebody's, you know, someone probably made something to order and then decided never to use it because it was amazing. So what I've done is I've put inside here this is something out of Noel's book, 3 12-volt, 12-ampere-hour sealed lead acid batteries for a total of 36-ampere-hour, wired them together, put in an MFJ power supply, one of those little switchers that they have, the one with the, not with the meters, but with the one with the binding posts on the front, the little quick clips on the back, and then the on the front also two pair of Anderson power poles. So then I went a step further and took a 8-position rig runner, not too long, not too small, and put that in there. And then I have a power gate, which is a charge controller, an automatic switchover between the power supply and the batteries. But also when this power supply is running it, you can use it to charge the batteries, which is really good. And for good measure, I put in a boost regulator.
and it all is in a very nice package. I put foam down on the bottom bed and put foam down to secure the batteries in place. And I haven't, you know, done the final gluing in of things yet, but this is a nice little power box. I mean, it weighs a ton, but I could always bring it in on a luggage cart or whatever, or something similar, but it'll stay dry in the elements, and it's a nice complement to that station boxes, or the various station boxes I built over time. And I'm rather pleased with the way it's turned out. I've been staring at it for a couple of days, waiting for final, shall we say, securing of everything. But I've actually closed it up and carried it up and down the stairs, brought it back up the stairs, opened it up, and everything was in place after being bounced around and, you know, heaved and twisted in all kinds of odd directions. So the whole mounting strategy here with foam and Gorilla Glue is a viable strategy. Anybody have any questions or suggestions? Okie dokie.
KD2AKP disconnection.
And the other auxiliary goodies are those three 12-volt, 12-ampere-hour steel lead acids. I'll tell you that straight up. But, you know, and I've soldered them together. I made a daisy chain of number 10 wire where basically I made like a loop where it comes up to the tab, and I basically removed the insulation off the end and made it come back down, squared it off, and made it go to the next connection, squared it off, and then it goes off to a power pole connector to plug into the power gate, which is, you know, all of 4 or 5 inches away. So this is all good. I mean, I've run some tests with it already, and electrically, it's just, oh, it's wonderful. It really is nice to have your power in a nice, neat, integrated fashion. And there's enough spare space so that the AC cord fits inside very nicely. Drop it. The AC cord fits in nicely in a space provided. And then there's also a space provided for additional 12-volt cord, basically 10-gauge cable, which can be used to feed the system externally as well. And I even have two small clip leady kind of things, and also a cigarette lighter plug that you can plug in. So if you want to feed the system with that instead of the AC power supply, you can do that as well. If you have another, if you have a different, should we say, more robust 12-volt source, up to and including a larger battery array, possibly fed by solar or some other 12-volt source, maybe coming off of, tapping off a generator or something like that. So, you know, a 12-volt generator. So, all good. Any questions from anybody? Alrighty. Well, if there are no other questions or comments or confusions, I think what I'm going to do is I'll secure the net, make sure there's nobody who has any final questions after I do that, and I'm going to jump in the car and head down Fifth Avenue. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. It's been a fun evening, and good questions, good a lot of antenna questions on this net. I do notice that. That's a good thing. Look forward to working everybody next week and through the weekend and have some fun doing it. You all take care and pray for my sailor if you don't mind. He's finishing up nuclear power school, and we're going to see him end of next week, so that's pretty cool. Week after next. That's pretty cool as well. I'll be with him on either December 1st or December 2nd, certainly by December 2nd when he graduates. Anyway,
So, take care, everyone, and Godspeed. This is K2BAR W2TTT returning their frequency to normal amateur radio use, and thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. Ta-ta, and good night.
Gordon, I'll be listening on 7-9 when you're across, you know, in the driveway or alongside the driveway, and give you a call.
Roger, I'll do that. W2TTT. Thanks. I'm sorry, Tom? You're just not holding the repeater, Tom. I'm sorry, Tom, you're just not holding the repeater. W2TTT, listening. W2TTT. KA2FBL, W2TTT. W2TTT, listening 955, anybody around?
Thank you. Good morning,
K1J. Am I listening?
KB2JLL Mobile, listening.
Thank you.